In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. How often do we say, or how often do we hear others say, words such as, I'll be happy if I just get inside heaven's door, or I'll be happy to make it to purgatory, or if I say this prayer or do this deed, I'll gain more merit for my crown in heaven. My good people, we are commemorating today. We're reliving today the passion and death of our Lord. Why did our Lord suffer what he did today? Was it merely so he could have us in heaven to look at and for us to look at him? If that had been the case, you think he would have gone through with it, knowing as he knew how many souls for which it would be wasted? No. Today is and was a result of nothing but love. Complete, self-negating love. Love that didn't count the cost. Love that didn't look at failure or apparent failure. Love that burned itself out on the cross. For no other reason than that he loved. As we go through our lives, we need to stop from time to time and examine our motives. Examine our thoughts and our hearts. Is everything that we are doing because we have to do it? Do we say our prayers because we feel guilty if we don't? Do we come to church and to Mass because our parents will fuss at us if we don't? Because the church says we must, and my conscience will bother me if I don't? Do we go to confession only because we fear hell? Or do we go because we have offended love itself? If we understood the love that we are commemorating today, if we had even a small part of that love, we wouldn't worry about getting to heaven, and we sure wouldn't stop at purgatory. We wouldn't worry about how many merits, how many jewels, how gold our crown is. No. If we loved as he loved, even in a small part of that love, we wouldn't count anything. We would continue searching for more and better ways of expressing that love. We would count no sacrifice too grave, no suffering too great, no price above our means of paying. We would also understand that heaven isn't a place. Heaven is God. And if we loved as he loved, we would be in heaven no matter where we are. We would still suffer, but our very suffering would become joy, because we are suffering from him who we love. As St. Augustine put it so well, to love is to suffer, and to suffer is to love. But too many of us, myself included, don't understand love. We don't give it everything we've got. We hold back. There's a small part of ourselves that we keep to ourselves. And so when the going gets tough, we say, "Why me, Lord?" Or, "How much further worse are things going to get, Lord, before you step in?" If we truly love, we would know that God will take care of the situation in his own good time. We would know that he knows best. We wouldn't question his judgment. We wouldn't question his patience. We don't know the picture that he is sewing on top of that tapestry. To repeat a story I've used before, only God can see that picture. And when he pokes that needle back down with the thread in it, we're not always paying attention. So sometimes it pokes us where it hurts. And in our impatient anger, we did jab it back up any which old way. But if we truly love, we would hand the needle back up and say, "Continue, Lord. You know what is best. You know what you are doing. I don't." So my good people, when you leave the church today, don't let it have this been another empty ceremony, another commemoration of a historical happening. Strive to take some of the love that we are commemorating home in your hearts. And may that love bless each one of us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Then were crucified with him two thieves, one on the right hand and one on the left, and Jesus in the midst. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My beloved people, three people were crucified. Three people suffered and died. From all outward appearances, all three were the same. Each were condemned. Each carried the cross. Each was nailed to the cross. And each one of them hung on that cross. So what, my beloved people, made the difference? If all outwardly were the same, what made the difference? The interior disposition. Now let us look at the two thieves. They both were guilty. They both knew their guilt. And they were both condemned. They both carried their cross and were crucified on that cross. And yes, both of them blasphemed our Lord while hanging on their cross. But then something struck one of them, and he realized, I deserve my punishment. The man next to me doesn't. I blaspheme my crucifixioners, and yet this innocent man forgives. Maybe he is right, and I am wrong. And he receives forgiveness. My beloved people, until we realize that we are just like the bad thief, until we realize that yes, I am the Pharisee of the Pharisee and the publican, until I realize that yes, I am the prodigal son, until we realize that I am the woman caught in adultery, until I realize that I and Mary Magdalene, a sinner. Until we realize this, we won't obtain forgiveness. The monks already know this. But just the other day, we received a letter in the mail from a gentleman, and he received our Easter speculum, and he read about the publican and the Pharisee. And he said, like most of us would say, I'm somewhere in between. But I know this next part he misapplied, but on second thought, maybe he didn't. He said, I will pray with all my might that I become the Pharisee. And at first thought, we think, well, he made a mistake and said, and should have said, the publican, because what did the publican do? He asked forgiveness, for I'm a sinner. But until we look at ourselves and say honestly, I am the Pharisee, do we not do the same things as he did? Just like the bad thief on the cross? Do we not say our novena of prayers? And after that, expect God to give us the answer right then and there? Do we not, my beloved people, tell God what to do? And if it is not done the way I want it, I won't accept it. Do we not tell Almighty God of all the prayers we say, the masses we attend, the mortifications I perform? Look at these. Answer my prayer. Are we not, my beloved people, the Pharisee, the bad thief, the woman caught in adultery? And if we can say yes to that and believe it with all our heart, only then can we obtain forgiveness. That is what the good thief realized. He realized he was just like the bad thief. That is what the publican realized, that he was just as much a sinner as the Pharisee. And that is what Mary Magdalene realized. And they became saints. And so it is with us. We are all sinners. Yes, we say it. But do we believe it? We go before our blessed Lord and ask him to forgive us. And yes, he does. But do we truly believe that we are that sinner? That we are just as wicked as the bad thief? That we are just as wicked as the Pharisee? As I said before, until we realize that I am the Pharisee, until I am the bad thief, until I am that woman caught in adultery, we will not obtain the forgiveness we desire. Because we have to go before our Lord as sinners to obtain forgiveness. And that is what the prodigal son realized, that he was a sinner, and he went before his father and obtained forgiveness. And so we go before, at the foot of the cross of our blessed Lord. And I can tell him, "Dear Lord, I am that Pharisee. I am that bad thief. I am the prodigal son. I am the woman caught in adultery." Until we admit our sinfulness, we will not obtain the forgiveness we desire. So, my beloved people, that man was correct. I must pray until I completely know that I am the Pharisee, the hypocrite, the one who thinks that I am better than the rest. God bless you, my beloved people. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
What have I given to my Lord for all that he has given to me? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know, a few weeks ago, I kept referring you back to a picture of our Lord being scourged at the pillar. Today, I refer you to another picture of him hanging on that cross. Here is his offering for us. Now, he could have taken the scourging and said, "This is enough." But no. He took it even further, beyond excess. We look on one hand of what he has done, and we look on the other hand what we wish to give him. It feels kind of strange that our hands seem quite empty. Our Lord only wishes, as you have heard already, the love of your hearts. He only wishes you to follow his examples, like I read just a few moments ago in the following of Christ. Pick up that cross. He carries one end, and he asks you to carry the other. These are our daily little trials, inconveniences, the little things that irritate us. If we put them on that balance beam by themselves, they are worthless. They mean nothing. But if we offer them through the offering of our Lord on that cross, the balance will become even. We take some of the main people in Scripture, Mary Magdalene, the woman caught in adultery, and so forth. If they had not any sorrow in their heart, our Lord just might act a little differently. Remember how hard he was with the Pharisees, who boasted that they know every little item of the law of Moses from page one to page whatever, and they could quote scripture this way and that way. But look how our Lord treated them. He will treat us the same way if we act like that. We look upon his passion today and think, well, it's another Good Friday. It'll be just like last year, the year before. We have something very much to tremble about. For scripture, as you know, can be very symbolic in its meaning. For instance, when Pilate said, "Behold the man," we might just think he meant Jesus as the man. The fathers of the church take it as man meaning taking the place of the first man, Adam. Or to a more tremendous thing, saying that the Pharisees and the priests, "We have no king but Caesar." Now how can they say something like that when they boast so heavily about knowing the law and the coming of the Messiah out of the royal house of David? "We have no king but Caesar." Then we have one of the most profound words ever mentioned, which causes even more trembling. "Let his blood be upon us and upon our children." And ever since that day has come, these words, have so much meaning. Look at the poor Jews today. They're in suffering. They're in misery. When our Lord was taken out to be crucified, did he face the beloved city of Jerusalem? No. His back was toward Jerusalem, and his arms were spread wide out to the Gentile nations. So much meaning this day, which we call Good Friday, with good reason. For like he said in earlier days, your captivity is over with. Our freedom from sin and slavery. So my beloved people, let us look and meditate upon that cross, upon the victim on that cross, and say truthfully to ourselves, are we going to say, "Let his blood be upon us and upon our children," and leave it at that? Our Lord knew that he would shed a lot of blood in vain. Unfortunately, it happened real fast. For we know real quickly about Judas Iscariot. Our Lord was only condemned to death, and he went out and hanged himself with a halter. So this, my beloved people, keep us in your prayers, as we always do for you, every day at the altar. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.